Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And on this episode, we will look back at the Pacers' 104-89 win over the Milwaukee Bucks, giving them their second win in a row for the first time since early February. Big win for the Pacers to keep them in the Eastern Conference standings. We'll look at other scores around the league and what the remaining schedules look like for all these teams clustered at the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff race. And the Pacers have slid up into eighth place because Miami was idle. So they have the half-game advantage on the Heat, but Miami will be back in action on Friday. So we'll check into that and take a little bit of a roll call of all the good play from several players in the Pacers' win over the Bucks, finally figuring out a way to beat Milwaukee, and just in time when it really counted. So we'll hit on that as well. But first, reminder to hit me up with any questions or comments. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. Okay, let's start at the Fieldhouse with the Pacers. Again, beat the Milwaukee Bucks 104-89. The Pacers have struggled mightily with the Bucks, their length in particular. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Thon Maker on the front court. Guys are able to trap, especially on Paul George, whenever they're trying to run any pick and roll or any action for PG. The MO has been to trap. And the Pacers have struggled turning the ball over in the 20s against the Bucks. But this time they were ready for all that action, and Paul George was really patient and played a strong game, found open guys, and overall the turnovers were down. Pacers only turned the ball over 16 times, and PG had four of those, handling the ball a lot, but overall not bad, especially when they made the Bucks turn the ball over 21 times. And if you look at all of those key indicator stats for the Pacers, turnovers, Pacers had an advantage. Rebounding, big advantage for the Pacers as they out-rebounded the Bucks 44-32, only allowed 6 offensive rebounds, and were able to corral 12 of their own for second chances. So that's a good effort. Beat them on the free throw line. Didn't shoot real well from the free throw line, but at least for the Pacers, who were one of the best overall teams, but they made 20 of 26, but that's far better than the Bucks, who had 12 of 14, and 13 of those free throws were by Antetokounmpo. So he had one of those games, finished with 25 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, but it was one of those games where it felt like, you know, the Pacers had him under wraps pretty much all night. And then you look up in the fourth quarter and like, whoa, he had 25 points. But again, a lot of that was at the line. He only took 14 shots. Made half of them, but Pacers were able to minimize his big impact on the game. Did not allow him to get out in transition very often. And that's key with him because once he gets a step, it's a big step, and he's by it and up in the air. So other than that, only other starter in double figures for the Bucks was Chris Middleton, who had 10 points, and then Mirza Teletovic had 15 off the bench. He made 5 threes, so he was a bit of a sniper out there, but that was all the Pacers had to contend with for the most part from distance. as the Pacers held a pretty comfortable lead throughout the second half. It kind of felt oddly like that Minnesota game, though, where it seemed like they had a comfortable lead and then all of a sudden let that thing slip away. But that wouldn't be the case on Thursday night. Once they took the lead in the second half of the second quarter, Pacers led the rest of the way, pushed that lead to double digits, and kind of had that thing going between, I don't know, 8 and 16 points most of the second half, but were definitely in control. A lot of big contributions from several players. We can start at the top of the food chain. Paul George, of course, mentioned him being vital ball handler in this game against the Bucks and the way they defend. There was a good stretch in the first quarter, or the first half, where he and Teague were working with Paul George being the ball handler on the pick and roll. And this was when the Bucks had a reserve lineup in there. Gary Payton II was in there and guarding Teague, and they were able to multiple times get him to switch off onto Paul, and then Paul was able to work on the smaller guard who is less experienced, having just come up from the D League. So PG gave him a little bit of a baptism at Bankers Life. And for the night, Paul had 23 points on 14 shots, grabbed 10 rebounds. He did have 4 steals, so I guess that evens out the 4 turnovers. But other guys were getting open and making plays. Pacers had 6 players in double figures. Another guy who of late has been coming on, his wrist injury getting a little bit better and a little bit better, Thad Young, had another big game, real active inside, finished with another double-double, 12 points, 11 rebounds, even had 3 assists, real active around the rim, and giving the Pacers a good effort on the defensive end, working against Antetokounmpo in this one. So another quality effort. And Thad played 35 minutes and was a big factor in this one. Miles Turner struggled with foul trouble, had 4 fouls, and only ended up playing 25 minutes, had 10 points, but again, missed a few shots you wish he would have made when he was open, but didn't really have a big offensive night. Did have 6 rebounds in 25 minutes, though. And then, of course, Jeff Teague continues his strong play of late. He has really been attacking again, showing some energy out there. Finished with 15 points, 7 assists, only 1 turnover. And the other double-figure player, Kevin Serafin, who stepped in real admirably for Miles Turner, who had foul trouble. And Serafin is a guy who will put the ball up. He's not afraid to shoot it. And I feel safe calling him a bit of a black hole once he gets the ball in the post. But as long as he's, you know, got his position, he's pretty strong with it in there. And he finished with 11 points and 7 rebounds. And interestingly, with Al Jefferson being available for this game, suited up, coming off of that ankle injury, and, of course, Lavoy Allen, Serafin was the only one of those 3 reserve bigs to play. Now, Rakeem Christmas played garbage time at the end, but as far as the regular rotation, you know, basically cut down to a 9-man rotation. Lance Stevenson, Aaron Brooks, C.J. Miles, and Kevin Serafin were your players off the bench. I did try and get Nate to talk about that a little bit before the game, and because of Lance's size, you know, they can play a little smaller, not have to have 2 bigs in there. And he, of course, answered about saying everyone's available, essentially, and that's an option, we have to look at it, blah, blah, blah. So, but that's just what he did. So, Kevin Serafin, real strong when he's out there on his own, and really helps when he's out there, I think, with Lance handling the ball. So, it also improves Aaron Brooks' impact on the game. He's not pounding the ball too much. You know, there's a little bit of a difference between Brooks pounding the ball and Stevenson pounding the ball, because Stevenson, you know, his size gives him a different dimension, and he's always probing, always attacking, even if he is pounding the ball. Sometimes with Brooks, he's just trying to survive by pounding the ball and trying to create, create, survive, which is a bit different dynamic. But with Stevenson in there, he can get open, get space, get moving, and get shots for himself a lot easier. So Brooks was the other guy with double figures, finishing with 10 points, made a couple threes, and worked real well with Stevenson. So, you know, I kind of like that four-man bench rotation coming in with this team right now. You know, I don't know if maybe different matchups will maybe have McMillan playing Lavoie instead of Serafin, or, you know, Al Jefferson. I don't know. But for this group right here, and, you know, playing against Greg Monroe as a reserve big, Serafin was a perfect fit. And he came in and played, you know, one of his better games of the season. So you would think he would have first shot at those reserve minutes again, going down the stretch here with three games to go. But overall, a quality win, because with all the hype after Tuesday, and a lot of talk about Lance and the way they've been playing, this game just felt like a trap waiting to be sprung on the Pacers, and a game that they were going to blow. And to see them come out and really ease their way to the victory in the second half, not really give into any of the Bucks' runs, and feel threatened down the stretch. That's a real impressive win, and one that kind of bolsters their playoff hopes, not only in the standings, but the fact that, you know, maybe they are really turning the corner here and showing something different. You know, these two wins over Toronto and Milwaukee, two teams that have been really rough matchups, add to that confidence. So they should be able to go on the road and feel really good about themselves, even though they haven't been playing well on the road. They now have Orlando on Saturday and Philly on Monday. Must wins against teams that they should win against. So just got to keep dialing it up. And with that eye on the prize of the playoffs right there in their grasp, there's no reason for a letdown at this point. The letdown trap was tonight. So hopefully they'll go on the road, dial it in, and bring home two more wins. And then it'll be back home against Atlanta and the Hawks for the last game of the season, which will determine the tiebreaker between the two teams. Now, whether they'll be tied at the time is yet to be seen. The Hawks got over one hurdle on Thursday night, holding off the Boston Celtics, played them at home. They were lucky to get the Celtics on a back-to-back, took advantage, and won the game. So they remain, you know, in the East, at least, in the loss column. They're two games ahead of the Pacers, and overall, game and a half. Looking ahead at the Hawks' schedule, they have a tough home-and-home coming up with four games left. They have a game at Cleveland on Friday, and then back down to Atlanta against Cleveland on Sunday. Then they also host the Hornets on Tuesday, not necessarily a walkover game, and then back up to the Fieldhouse to finish out the season against the Pacers. So, essentially, they just need to drop one of those games, assuming the Pacers win out. Two, if the Pacers lose one. You get the math, right? But if they're only a game ahead of the Pacers when they come in, they'll be playing for a spot. So keeping an eye on Atlanta because of that schedule, their team I've been considering one the Pacers should be able to catch if they can catch a winning streak here at the end of the season. The other team with a rough schedule, Miami Heat, was off and fell back a half game. They, too, have four games remaining and not a real easy stretch at all. They will play on Friday at Toronto, then on back-to-back, remaining on the road at Washington. And both those teams are battling each other for a spot in the middle of the middle-upper half of the standings in the East. None of those spots are settled, so they won't be resting anybody. And then on Monday, they host Cleveland and then finish the season against Washington again. So that is a rough one. And if the Heat can lose one or two of those games, then the Pacers will be able to keep them behind them. And now we're talking about, okay, are we going to be in the eighth or potential to move up six, seven, maybe even five? They're only a game behind Milwaukee. Looking at Milwaukee's schedule, though, they have a little bit easier finish now with just three games to go. They, too, play at Philly on Saturday. Then they host Charlotte, and then they're at Boston on Wednesday to wrap things up. So there's a loss in there potentially, but they do have the tiebreaker still on the Pacers. So essentially they'd have to lose two games for the Pacers to catch up. Against Chicago, they rolled tonight against the Sixers, took care of business on the road. And they finish up at Brooklyn on Saturday, then at home against Orlando and on Monday, and Brooklyn on Wednesday. So those are three W's. I think the Bulls are pretty safe. I don't even think Dwayne Wade could come in and mess things up at this point. But you never know. So that kind of takes a look at Pacers standings and which teams we got to look at realistically getting by. And right now it seems like Miami is definitely best hope for the Pacers to get in the playoffs if they keep winning. And then, of course, moving up one more spot potentially with Atlanta faltering in at least one of their next three games before they come to the Fieldhouse to finish it up. So it should be plenty of good hoops this weekend and plenty of scoreboard watching by everybody. The Pacers are off after, I'm assuming they'll practice in the morning in Indy and then take off for Orlando in the afternoon and get set to meet Frank Vogel and the Magic, who have been struggling of late, losing five of their last six games, but they did win their last game against the Nets. So Pacers are going to have to go down there and put in work, because when they're on the road, they always seem to struggle. But they should be approaching it no longer with a regular season mentality, since they are definitely in a playoff race right now, fighting for their lives, and every win is vital. All right, well, thanks again for listening. Please share any comments you had on the win over the Bucks or what lies ahead for the Pacers on the schedule and the playoff race. You can reach me via email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at IndyCornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.